You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to G-Talk, Girl Be Heard's podcast and new platform for girls to express themselves beyond the stage. I'm your host, Zoe Norman Hunt.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Listen up. Time for girls, all of us, to take the stage.
Girl, be heard.
What?
It's 2020, and the coronavirus continues to spread across the country, but it has not stopped our girls from being heard. Our 2020 main stage show, Citizen Be Heard, Our Wildest Dreams, was scheduled to open on April 22nd. Girl Be Heard had to cancel all of our spring performances due to the pandemic. Not to worry. Starting today, G-Talk will begin a new series of podcasts highlighting original works by the cast of Girl Be Heard's 2020 main stage show, Citizen Be Heard. Today we'll hear from Cameron Bruno and Spencer Sanchez, who will perform their original work from the show.
My name is Cameron Bruno, and I am a company member with Girl Be Heard. You can see more of our main stage show in the coming weeks on girlbeheard.org.
My name is Spencer Sanchez, and I'm a company member with Girl Be Heard. You can see more of our videos on our Girl Be Heard YouTube channel. Lights off, doors locked, 24 kids shoved into a closet, hooks pressed against our backs, hooks tangled in our hair. We've been in the dark too long, so long the light hurts our eyes. Our hips and knees ache as we're squished in the back of this closet. Our hearts break as they pump blood to our fingertips to text I love you one last time. The silence is deafening. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't speak. All of my senses have been robbed from me. I can't touch. My skin has turned to ice and touch feels like a cut to the bone. God, I wish I just stayed home. The door shakes as someone tries to turn the knob. Their effort is useless and they move on. But that was only a drill, a mere formality of living in America. But for many, active shooter wasn't a drill, but the last thing they heard before blood began to spill. Do I deserve to live in fear? Do I deserve to see the death of my peers, screams ringing in my ears? I try not to think about dying, but when I do, I picture a bullet between my eyes, piercing my mind, my body, becoming the scene of a crime. A nation of kids share fear, a fear of death, a fear of uncertainty, but a want for safety. We declared enough is enough is enough. How many child hearts have to stop beating for you to start believing? Believing that your actions have consequences, making children truly defenseless. Keeping your guns means more kids will have to run. I'm filled with horror and disgust as we still shout, enough is enough. But these kids don't have to be defenseless. Your actions are reckless. Call your congressman. Tell him to end this. Don't let these politicians take money from the NRA. Your children will have to pay. Your voice needs to be heard. Walk out protest. Spread the word.
How does the presence of the possibility of a school shooting affect your academic performance?
The truth is, it doesn't, because this has just been a fact of life ever since I started school and wasn't there like a statistic like this was the first March without a school shooting since 2002, yep. Meaning that every March since I was born, there's been a school shooting, so I haven't experienced any different. Does it give me a platform, like something to speak out against? Like, mm-hmm. It kind of, like this kind of fear, like a nation of kids share fear, it's kind of something that unites an entire generation. Like, no one wants to die. Like, most people don't want to die, and most kids don't want to die when they're a kid. So it kind of unites me with other kids my age and gives me a platform and something to speak out against.
It's really weird based on what you said, because like I get what you're saying, but then at the same time it's like it makes me think. So the last question is, what does an ideal school life look like to you?
An ideal school life. First thing that comes to mind is just like school supplies, and not even like school safety, but like everyone would have the supplies that they need to do well in their class, like a textbook that isn't ripped up, that isn't like written on. And like on the school safety note, like we're always going to have drills. We're always going to have like fire drills or something like that, at least. But like on the count of that, I wish we knew about it, so it's not something so jarring. Like we would have our supplies, and whenever there was going to be a drill or something like that, we'd just be warned. Because lockdown drills are pretty intense. Like you're going to be very close to your classmates, and some people aren't the most comfortable with that. So it'd be better if we were warned before we have to go through something like that than not.
So do you think that there should be an equal priority between school safety and school, what would you call that? The student's priority?
Yeah, I think we should. I think, especially like in the Bronx where I am, where I've gone to school, there's we have a lot of drills, but for like schools, we're obviously practicing school safety. But there's not always like enough supplies. So if school safety and just like school supplies were weighed equally, that would be my ideal school situation.
There is an Adam and an Eve, and she was made in the image and the likeness of a victim. Men always expect a harvest. Who would have thought that women are more than garden? If you gouge out your eyes just to be blind for love, excuses are not healing medicine. Skin only stretches to form hills and valleys. This is braille for your lover's guidance, so you could take your rib back. Fragile bones break easily, collapse as collateral beneath his feet. But what does God expect? Anything that carries too much weight is bound to break, but women still stand whole, resting in the waters used to baptize, create masterpiece from flesh, forgot how much the back done bore.
What was your thought process when writing the line, "She was made in the image and likeness of a victim"?
The thought process behind that line was just not necessarily honoring, but acknowledging the fact that women are automatically seen as a victim, just in theory, as being submissive to a man based on the theology that Adam gave Eve a rib.
How was this inspired, especially concerning the conversation around women's bodies and their ability to control them.
Yeah, so this piece, as well as the language and the metaphor that has been used, is just a different way to show how women have been dishonored, and basically just sharing the message that women is really more than, women are really more than you think they are, and that women really run this world, and that even with all of the hardships and dilemmas that women may face, we still rise through it all.
What's your process when creating pieces like this with such beautiful and intense imagery?
I really like to look at poems in different perspectives, especially because I do digital media. So I like to think of my pieces as an aid or something that could be accessible for someone who can't see or for someone who can't hear, and just making sure that I cross off the list of like sensory images. So the imagery in this piece is just really, for me, the thing that ties it together in regards to like Genesis and being in a garden and the earth and coming from dirt, and just ties the story together for me. And I wanted to make sure that everyone else is able to relate to the story that was told.
Wow, when you said that, I literally had like an aha moment, like, oh, I get it now.
It's really not for me. It's for other people. It's for the audience to really grasp what I'm saying, even if they don't necessarily understand the words or the message. They're able to take the words from my message to create their own images based on the imagery that I gave them. And the goal is that once they interpret it for themselves, it's very similar to what the message is. So eventually they get the message on their own.
Oh, so like, if they can't like hear it or like experience it in one way, at least they could see it.
Yeah, they could experience it in another way. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's performed on the stage or something that's performed on the page. You could get the same experience from listening or reading.
I like that.
It's really cool.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
First off, hi both of you. Hi Cameron, hi Spencer. I've met Cameron a bunch of times before. Spencer, I've never had the opportunity to meet, and that's a bummer. My cat is attacking me right now. podcasting in the quarantine century in 2020. So tell me, how has working on main stage show during this quarantine been for you guys during the pandemic?
It's been a little bit difficult for me, just in the sense that a lot of schoolwork and like my internship and all of these things that I do, they're demanding a lot of time like extra time because they think that in-person time is the same as like computer time. So for me, the hours run a little bit longer and my schedule is just as hectic as it was before this quarantine. But nothing has changed on that part. But I really appreciate the fact that Gilby Hood still gives us the opportunity to do the same work that we were doing, as well as like making sure that we're okay mentally and physically. And we've had a few like rehearsal sessions where like we would do yoga, we would dance, which kind of just eases the pressure from everything that's going on right now. And yeah, I can't really complain. It's the light at the end of the tunnel almost.
One can only hope there's a light at the end of the tunnel because it feels like it's right. Going on forever.
It has been, but soon.
Yeah. Spencer, what about you?
I don't know. It's been kind of weird for me because I'm taking my classes. I'm doing like schoolwork in the morning, and then come like 6 p.m. on a Wednesday, I'm like doing something that looks very similar with Girl Be Heard and Main Stage. So my time kind of blends together now, but I do enjoy our virtual rehearsals. I do miss my cast, so it's nice to be connected in one way or another.
I fully understand the whole feeling that all the days are blending together. I've started to feel like, you know, it's morning, it's night, and it's the next day, you know?
Yeah.
I've not felt a separation between the days in a while.
Especially when you're going to sleep at like, well, me, when I go to sleep at like 4 a.m. and then wake up at like 9 to, you know, work as normal.
Oh, yeah, not go to bed at 4 a.m. I say that as I also go to bed at 2 in the morning, so I'm not really going to talk. And what have you guys been doing aside from, you know, your Girl Be Heard work, which obviously is the best thing ever that's keeping you sane? What else have you guys been doing to keep yourselves busy? I don't know about you guys, but I've taken up Needlepoint, and I'm also binge watching all the shows I've been saying for years I was going to watch.
You know, I've gotten back into crochet. I started crocheting like when I was, I don't know, 12. So now I'm getting better because I have nothing else to do. It's what I do during my Zoom classes. And I've been practicing violin. I still have my Zoom violin lessons. So I've tried to keep my schedule as, I guess, resembling what it was before the quarantine as much as possible.
That's so nice that you're playing violin. I wish I was playing an instrument during this time. Ugh. What about you, Cameron?
I'm binge watching everything. So I'm currently watching Parks and Rec.
Oh my gosh, you've never seen it before?
I've never seen it before. I've been stuck on the Office ever since, like, I don't know when. So I have been convinced to watch Parks and Rec. It's amazing. I just finished watching Breaking Bad also. I've been playing, I've been watching someone play PS3 games. It's really fun to just observe. And I've been sleeping and eating and cooking. That's what I've been doing. Chefing it up in the kitchen.
I've been cooking and baking so much. I think that my mom said Niecy Nash is the one who was on Instagram being like, so do I contact the people from My 600-Pound Life after this whole thing is over? Or because of how much like people are eating right now. So many people are snacking. And I'm like, yeah, my mom has a Peloton and she was nice enough to let me use the lessons from it for like a strength class, which was really nice because I have not been able to, you know, do any real exercising. Yeah. And I hate running. But yeah. And my roommate just finished Parks and Rec, and now she finished Arrested Development. I highly recommend the first three seasons of Arrested Development after you're done with whatever you're watching now. I also think that personally, I don't know about you guys, I don't know if either of you have cat animals, but I know that my cat is, I think, a bit done with me being home all the time.
I think my cats are annoyed with me as much as they're annoyed with each other right now. But, you know, he's just sleeping peacefully behind me right now. But I know it won't be peaceful for long because I'm going to bother him once I get off.
Yeah, my parents' dog is home, and I think that, she loves that they're home, but I think the cats are a little bit like, can we please, like, get our house back? we used to run this place when no one was here, and now you're here all the time, and I'm just not really feeling it. So, really quick, Spencer, I have a couple questions for you about your piece. There's a line that you have, and I'm fascinated to know what it means. The hooks pressed against our backs and hooks in our hair. What are the hooks referring to?
They're actual literal hooks. When I started doing like these active shooter lockdown drills, I was in elementary school. So we would have like just like one big closet where we'd put all our stuff for the day. So whenever we had these drills, we would literally like get into the closet and the hooks with our stuff on it, like everyone would just be pushed in. So like you would just have a hook like pressed against your back, if not in your hair. So like it's like very literal for me.
Wow. Okay. So I grew up before all the active shoots. I mean, I think that Columbine had happened when I was in school, but we never had these drills. So the idea that you were doing this in elementary school is terrifying to me for so many reasons. I can't understand why that should even be necessary. I mean, yeah, it drives me completely insane. And it bums me out that such things are necessary, because I never had that experience. Like, so you're saying that these active shooter drills, they don't even warn you about them beforehand?
No, they don't. They just have like the drill, like, oh, we're having an active shooter drill now. And then you just do it for like, you're like 5-10 minutes. And then you just go back to class. It's like less than a fire drill, like, because you're still in the classroom, because so you're just kind of like stuck where you are, and there's no warning, just like you're there.
That sounds terrifying. I think another thing that needs to be addressed, and I think you kind of bring it up, about seeing your peers get hurt in front of you. I feel like there's a bit of a PTSD thing that could go on with such drills and all of these shootings. I feel like there's like a PTSD going throughout these young children who are having to deal with the fact that my life is not as important as a gun, so I may lose my life for something that stupid.
There has to be. I don't think that you can go through something as like intense as a shooting. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are, but especially if you're a kid. Like, your brain is literally still developing, and this is like, has to be one of the defining moments of your life. So I feel like if someone goes through that, they can't just leave unscathed in any type of way.
Cameron, I'm assuming that your schools in Trinidad never had this problem.
Never. I felt so bad because when we brought up school shootings during main stage rehearsal, it's like I really had like a good schooling system in comparison to like the American school system where school shootings is concerned. And it was really like, it's scary, but like also just interesting to me that a lot of the school shooting incidents went in school. They were usually after school, like gang violence, and it doesn't really get as much attention as school shootings because it's high-key, low-key, not the school's business once it's off of their compound, really.
And by gang violence, you mean that happened in Trinidad after school, or?
Yeah, so in Trinidad, usually a lot of the violent that's like really close to school shootings would be gang related.
And Cameron, I have one question about your piece also. What's the name of your piece, first off?
It's Genesis.
Genesis. And what is your relationship with the Adam and Eve story, or even like with the Bible? Because recently I was reading a post online about Helen of Troy and about how
no one knows the story of actual Helen of Troy. They only know, like, the war that was fought in her honor that she didn't even ask for. And that kind of made me think about your piece with Eve not being her own person.
Right.
So can we just talk a little bit about that? Or
it was, I first started to explore the whole Adam and Eve thing about 2 years ago when I heard someone say that Eve said that she might as well just give her rib back. And like women don't need Adam's rib. And we were talking about like gender-based violence. And we just started the discussion on the fact that men obviously feel like if they own us because we took something from them. And the whole thing about, you know, giving your rib back just was like the awakening call to say, well, you know, we don't need this thing from you to, you know, do what we do. But like, that's an entire conversation on itself. But I just really wanted to play on that thought and just go against everything that I've heard. Like, you know, when I was younger and going to church religiously with like my mom and stuff and like not really knowing what things meant, but still having to do them anyway. And, you know, just growing older and being able to appreciate these messages and interpret them a little bit differently.
I know that you talked a little bit about how you felt about the piece, but I just wanted to just dive a little bit deeper. Was there anything in that piece that you felt related to your experience with religion or being a woman?
Yeah. I mean, not directly, but just really giving myself the chance to celebrate women, to celebrate myself, to empower myself and those who come after me. Just like leaving it imprint of just like, you know, not everything that we hear is true, or our beliefs tend to change as we grow older, and just like recreating the narrative for ourselves to stop any sort of generational trauma to get passed on.
And Spencer, does any of that resonate with you?
I'm not sure yet. I don't even consider myself a woman. I like to think of myself as a girl still. I just turned 16, so I don't feel comfortable identifying myself as a woman, but I can see how some of the sentiment could possibly affect me as I grow, as I may experience some gender-based discrimination, hopefully not, as, you know, as I get older, as I apply myself and try to take, like, go after certain opportunities, like, I can see, like, me, how that sentiment could apply to my future self.
Yeah, I think I just want to endorse Spencer's message, just because it's, like, a really strong message that I think that everyone needs to hear, especially from the perspective that she gave, and just making sure that, you know, students know that there are resources and people just like them out there who want to fight the good fight. People just like Spencer, it's like they're here to support each other in doing that.
I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah. I just, yeah, I really like your piece. And I feel like it speaks for how women are treated, how they should be treated in the world around us.
This has been a special edition of G-Talk, with performances from Girl Be Heard's 2020 main stage show, Citizen Be Heard, Our Wildest Dreams. A special thanks goes out to the cast, Alyssa Martinez, Cameron Bruno, Danaza Provet, Felicity Forte, Jamila Rosemond, Nakima Warren, Menasha Thomas, Spencer Sanchez, and Rwende Kavour. This is a Girl Be Heard production, and thanks for listening. This episode has been produced by Kim Sykes and the cast of our 2020 main stage show. Our executive producers are Chi Catano and Kim Sykes. I'm your host, Zoe Norman Hunt.
And remember, it's not enough to talk. You must be heard.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.